time to wake up with Bill Finch. 203-333-9422. Only on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And welcome this morning to Wake Up, your radio home for truth, justice, and democracy. This is your radio home if you're tired of being divided and manipulated, tired of the right-wing screamers and whiners of talk radio, tired of the science deniers, the billionaires, the bullies, climate deniers, tired of those who won't fight for you, tired of those who openly defy our laws and our Constitution. If you're tired but you want to do something about it, Wake Up will strengthen you for the battles ahead. 1 hour every Sunday morning, we bring you our guests who provide not only the information you need, but a patriotic, full-throated endorsement of the pillars of American democracy and red meat for the ideals that built this great nation. Let's help work to preserve our freedoms. We must be never too tired to resist. And we saw yesterday a tremendous turnout. Not just mothers, but fathers. Happy Father's Day, everyone. Mothers and fathers, children of all ages, joined together to fight the madness emanating from the orange man in the White House. It was terrible policies, but he's having one great effect. He's unifying our nation. He's unifying our nation by our producers in the studio here, Paul, and he's going to help me fix a button. So, Paul, I want to just thank you after that energetic introduction. There's always you behind the scenes making sure that people can hear these words that preserve our freedom and our liberty and our democracy. We're joined in the studio today by a special friend, a special guest, Patty Nicolari, whose family has been the backbone of Ansonia politics, both Democrat and Republican in the town. Today, her family does a little tradition of going to her deceased father's grave and saying a prayer and maybe even having a little shot in his honor. It's a wonderful tradition. It just gives you a little glimpse into the kind of person Patty Nicolari is. I'm so honored that she's here today. And the reason that Patty is here today is that we know in the United States of America, we have a quote unquote leader. And what does he do? He finds the smallest people, the smallest group of people that are struggling for their rights, and he ridicules them. He abandons them. He targets them. He encourages people to target them. He takes away their rights, and he gaslights them. And I'm talking about the LGBTQI+ community. Now, to his credit, I guess you'd have to say, he hasn't targeted any LGBTQIA+ communities so far in Pride Month, because June is Pride Month. There's so many people working quietly in the community to undo this idiocy that comes out of the White House, to show that Americans tolerate all and embrace all. And I'm so happy, Patty, that you're here this morning to talk about Pride Month, but also what you're doing to protect people in the LGBTQIQ+ community and to further their interests and support them. We've had many times to talk about this, but before we get into the issue at hand, and that is the federal government's near criminalization and homophobia, tell us just a little bit about yourself, your journey, your mission, what you've done here in the Valley. We call it the Valley. Mm-hmm. You know, it's such a homey, wonderful place to have grown up. Tell us how those years growing up in Ansonia made you the person you are, and why you're doing what you're doing today. Tell us a little bit about your story here during Pride Month.
Well, Bill, thank you so much for having me. That was certainly a colorful introduction that you have. I love it. I embrace
red
the fact
meat
and red
for the
meat.
Pillars
the
of
red
democracy
meat
that built our country.
Oh,
can't
gosh.
Forget that, right?
I appreciate your passion.
We
I
can't
really
forget
do.
That.
Never, never. So, the
what I just have to add this. Yeah. We just had D-Day, right? And I always put up something wonderful about the heroes that stormed the beaches. My dad was one who was, you know, his ship was sunk right off the coast. And yet you still have people who honor the veterans, and they also honor this guy who called them suckers and losers. You have to do such mental gymnastics to be able to like this guy who called my father and your father and all the others who fought suckers and losers. But it's just an aside.
Yep,
it comes
these
to
are
me
challenging
once in a while.
Times, no yeah. doubt about that. Challenging times. Yeah. We all have to go to yoga and go into namaste mode for the next 3.5 years.
And to have grown up like you.
You're so sweet. So, yes, I am a product of Ansonia, Connecticut, the Naugatuck Valley, where my father was a superintendent of schools, and my mother is still the city treasurer at 86 years old representing. So we go deep into the 1850s from my family.
You and
roots.
The Hale family and a number of others,
exactly.
You know, the Adamowskis. And, yeah,
love it.
It's a great town.
And we have
it's a city, but it's only, what, 30,000 people, so you could still know everybody. Know everybody's business.
6 miles by 6 miles. It's
wow.
beautiful. It
yeah.
really is a family there. So the reason that I do the work that I do, and I am as passionate as you about creating a safe space for the LGBTQ community, is because I'm a member or a part of the LGBTQ community. And in the 70s, growing up as a kid in high school, it would have been a lifesaver to know that there was an LGBTQ teacher. Or if we at least discuss this in our curriculum or some positive mention of role models. And it was so void. Now people say, oh, what the heck? That was 50 years ago. Things have changed. But even as a teacher from 1981 all the way through my 30-year career as a teacher and a principal in Ansonia, there were still no out teachers. And I became the first teacher who said, I can't take it anymore. I can't stay in the closet. I need to be that role model that my students needed. And everybody warned me against coming out because prior to 1991, you could have been fired just for being a gay teacher. You could have been outstanding, but they had the right to let you go just because you came out and said you were gay. So everybody said, you can't come out. You can be fired. So in 1997, when the laws, you know, changed after 1991, I decided it's time to come out. And so by coming out, game changer. My life totally changed. I ended up putting on workshops across the country, how to create safe spaces for all students, regardless of sexual orientation, gender identity. My story's in a book by Kevin Jennings, One Teacher in 10. I joined the GLSEN Connecticut board. It just totally changed my trajectory from no longer living in fear and just being my authentic self, which is
you
part
must have
of,
felt helpless before you came out.
Totally helpless.
So you went from helpless to powerful. So let's keep those people in a closet where they feel helpless.
Exactly, which I feel is the goal today, because when you instill fear in people, they want to dial it back and go back in the closet. I will never go back. At 67 years old, I've come too far.
Right.
So,
well, we're going to take a quick break. Paul in the studio is going to cue up some ads and some weather, and we'll be right back with Patty Nicolari right after these messages.
Join the conversation, 203-333-9422. Back to Wake Up with Bill Finch, live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut.
And welcome back to this Father's Day edition of Wake Up. I want to welcome you all to the show and welcome into our studios the late, the great Patty Nicolari, who has lately been doing all kinds of wonderful things here in Connecticut. Patty, off the air, we were just talking about all the issues that are kind of complicated for the cisgender population to understand if they haven't done a lot of thinking about it, right? I mean, when a baby is born, they are born with genitalia, right? And that genitalia can be clearly female and clearly male. And also, many children are born with a mixture of genitalia or confusing genitalia.
Ambiguous.
Right.
Ambiguous genitalia.
Right. So people, the Native Americans actually had a separate class for those people. They actually elevated, many of the tribes elevated those people as the third way, sort of. So there's a biological inconsistency with the way the right is trying to classify everyone into just male and just female, because there are probably a couple million people in the United States that don't fit into either one clearly. So that off the bat kind of confuses things, and we should be tolerant of everyone and really not look in their pants for their identity. I mean, I think that's a terrible place to start, to try to figure somebody out.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's none of my business. I don't care what's on. If you have a mole on your back or a penis between your legs, that's not, you know, why I'm going to like you or not like you, you know, and be friends with you. So there's the biological gender, then there's the sexual orientation of someone, and then there's the gender identity. So I met a trans woman who is interested in men, and I've met trans women who are interested in women, or trans women who are interested in both. So the reason I mention that is the gender identity is something the government's starting to get into, right? They want to know, you know, what you're identifying as, which I don't think is anybody's business. I don't know what you feel about that, but tell us a little bit about in your coming out to the public. How did you explain some of these things to people? Not that it's really any of their business, but if they took you into their confidence and family members, for example, and you tried to explain it, what was the simplest way for the listeners to understand gender identity?
Well, gender identity is how you feel as a male or a female. So it's more what's between your ears versus between your legs.
Right.
So how we identify. And it doesn't mean
Which is more powerful, right?
Absolutely.
Right.
Absolutely more powerful. But sometimes parents fear that their child isn't conforming to a gender norm. So they may try to steer their child
or that they'll be discriminated against and they're choosing a more difficult path.
Exactly. And you could understand why parents fear that. They want what's easier for their child. Who doesn't? But when that doesn't happen, they need to embrace their child and do more education and understanding. And then there's also expression, gender identity expression. I know I was a little tomboy. Even though I was a female and did identify as a female, I felt more comfortable wearing more masculine clothes than feminine clothes. I have three very feminine straight sisters, and I was different than them, and I just knew the womb.
Somebody had to clock the bullies that were bullying your sisters.
Exactly. Right? Somebody had to man up. No, so it's all confusing, and part of this Pride Center that we're going to open called the Valley Proud Center in Ansonia.
Well, that's exciting. Tell us more about that.
We will be educating the public. So John Q. Public will be able to hear about these topics. And we believe that laws don't change people's hearts. It's understanding and education. And actually getting to know a person in their own circle who is LGBTQ. If somebody doesn't come out to you, it's probably because you're not creating a safe enough space for them to do that. So we're very excited about this first Naugatuck Valley Proud Center that we're going to open while we're waiting for Proud Academy to open.
You know how they talked about how Nixon was the one who had to go to China because he was the conservative Republican. And if a Democrat went, they'd call him, you know, a commie sympathizer, right? So sometimes the opposite side has to embrace. And I got that same feeling from many of the hearings that we went to in Ansonia. You know, Ansonia is a blue-collar town, just like Bridgeport. It's not a big hotbed of liberalism, let's just say. It's people trying to make ends meet, right? People just raising their families, going to school, going to church, having a nice little town to live in, right? So sometimes, you know, it seems to me that if you have a proud center in Ansonia and you have look, we saw people who were like truck drivers getting up to the microphone and saying, I think we need to have, you know, more help for the gay people in Ansonia. I thought that was wonderful, right? Because you're breaking the stereotypes down. You know, everybody has their own demons. Everybody has their own story. Everybody has their own challenges. They're before the grace of God, you or I, right? That could be us struggling with our gender identity, or it could be one of your kids.
Oh, gosh, absolutely. Ansonia is great. And I have to say, the mayor has been very supportive of the Proud Academy and also of the center that's about to open. And he raised the Pride flag and he raised the transgender flag with you.
Give credit
where
credit is due. Yeah.
Absolutely. Give credit where credit is due. And he deserves that for supporting us. So I appreciate that. And some people say, oh, gosh, it's a Republican town. But the mayor is very supportive of all of his constituents.
Well, I think you have done an amazing job in a tough environment to raise the consciousness. Let's just say if a kid came out in Manhattan or Chicago or L.A., they might have had a little bit easier time. But coming out in Ansonia or Bridgeport or a place like that provides you with maybe a little less of a safety net. And what you're doing now is raising the community up to create that safe place and create that awareness. And hats off to you and all your volunteers and Anzonia for doing that. Because, look, you know, what the world needs now is love, sweet love.
Dionne Warwick, is that coming back to me? Yeah.
I think it's really amazing that what you're doing, and I've had the opportunity to be a supporter of another one of your initiatives we'll get to after the bottom of the hour news. But you're also trying to create a school, and as I said, we'll talk a little bit more about that afterwards. But tell me what your takeaway has been so far with your efforts to organize the gay community in Connecticut and New Haven County and Fairfield County.
Well,
this is Proud Month, so let's tie it into going on around
Pride Month.
Many
for
of the protests yesterday, like the one in Boston, was a Pride rally and a No Kings rally. So it was kind of interesting how the two merged, even though Pride is not partisan. It is now because of what's happening, but it's not supposed to be.
Well, you know, we all feel that civil rights are being dialed back, and we're going back to 1965 Alabama.
Yeah.
So I know that the only thing we can do that is in our control is stay positive, still open the center, still try opening the school, go against the tide. I had the pleasure of meeting Jim Obergefell in Obergefell versus Hodges. So I remember a year ago when I met him.
That was the first couple that the Supreme Court said they withheld their right to marry.
So the first case where they could marry, same-sex marriage, legally, federally.
Yeah.
So he said, oh my gosh, I'm so afraid that's going to be dialed back. And now it's at risk.
Yeah.
Because if all this goes back to the states, we certainly know the states in the South will say, oh, well, heck no, not on my watch. So the things that we're doing, the issues facing the LGBTQ community, books being removed from shelves, possible funding being removed for DEI initiatives, and that's our middle name, Proud DEI Academy.
Right.
You know. So, we have an uphill battle for sure.
Well, we've never seen this before. During the 60s, you mentioned the 60s, racism was rampant, obviously, especially in the South. But here in the North, too, and it's still here. But the last time a president sent in troops against a governor's wishes was Lyndon Johnson, when George Wallace wouldn't protect the black marchers who ended up being beaten heavily on the Pettus Bridge and didn't want that to happen again. And so he sent in troops to protect them from being killed, lynched, raped, and murdered. So it sounded to me like, you know, that was sort of a state of insurrection, because Alabama was not supporting the constitutional rights of all of its citizens along racial lines. In this case, where we sent in the troops to Los Angeles, there was no state of insurrection. There was basically the level of violence that you see after UConn wins the national basketball championship.
Or Philadelphia winning.
I mean, this is not insurrection. An insurrection would mean that even the elected officials were in a state of insurrection. They were saying, no, we've got this under control. We're just seeing a lot of police power, a lot of loss of our rights. And I just wonder if the gay community is going to be instrumental in helping us preserve our rights. With that hanging out there for us to think about, let's go to the news and some messages with Paul over at the producer's studio. And we'll be right back with Patty Nicolari right after the news and these messages.
Talking about what matters to you this morning. Wake up with Bill Finch. WICC 695.9, the voice of Connecticut.
Welcome back. And if you are listening to this show, then obviously the subject matters that we have had on this show from the left, from the center, from the right, but all focusing on our freedoms that are being lost, focusing on the craziness that the president is perpetuating on this great democracy of ours, putting its future in doubt, putting the American democracy's future in doubt. I was talking to a friend of mine. I've been in politics all my life. This is one of the most straightest, narrowest, patriotic people in politics I've ever met. And I said, I won't say his name, but I said to the gentleman, I said, do you think that America's going to make it out of this episode? And there was a long pause, and he said, I don't know. And that's a terrible place for anybody to have put our great country. And unfortunately, Donald Trump has put us in that position of not knowing whether or not our democracy will be able to survive. Yesterday was a great an enthusiastic repeal of all that he's proposed. They said over 10 million people around the country protested. I attended both the Trumbull and the Bridgeport rally. Trumbull and Bridgeport had over 1,000 at each of the places. The Ash Creek Bridge was alive and vibrant with people from all walks of life. I happened to meet a young Mexican girl who whose father was deported because he was working toward his citizenship, but he had a car accident and did not have a driver's license because he couldn't get one, and they deported him because of the traffic violation. While he was working to become a citizen and was working hard and raising his children, and now his children are here and he is not. Splitting families up for nonsensical reasons. But there are those who say, hey, the rules are the rules and you have to split those families up and you have to be American and you have to be forceful and you can't allow our hordes of invaders, which is, of course, a myth. But anyway, we see so much gaslighting, Patty, and I think it is uniting our country. I think we saw yesterday the start of it. But, you know, we have seen a pattern of gaslighting in Proud Month. We're talking about gays and lesbians and transgenders, but it's many people, isn't it?
It's truly any marginalized group. You know, blacks, Jews, gays, especially the immigrants right now living in fear. And I've seen it with my own eyes. You know, there used to be all these Latino men who would stand outside of Home Depot in East Haven waiting to work legitimately and earn an honest living to provide for their family. It's crickets now. Nobody is standing there. They're all living in fear, which is really unacceptable. And outside of my condo complex in New Haven, my neighbor saw a few days ago, I live in the Hill section, and four cars were boxing in this woman, and they had ice on their jackets, and they had the woman in handcuffs, and one of the ICE agents was holding the four-year-old daughter. It just breaks your heart. This is in our own neighborhoods. So it's not just going after the hardcore criminals, which we can all agree, yes, get them out of there. Get the rapists and murderers out of the United States of America. And it brings me to tears to know that we are all living in fear. Less people will come out. The immigrants will hide. Everybody is just fearing for their safety, and that is just unacceptable. We are not the United States we thought we were. I never thought that I'd be reliving the 60s again.
And worse, actually, you know, in many ways. I have a member of my family who is part of the community of LGBTQIA+. She and her friends are very, very down on this country. They don't want to live here. They don't feel safe. They feel that when violence, it's only a matter of time, is done against transgender people or gay people, that the guy in the White House will pardon them, as he did to the insurgents on January 6th. And remember, everyone, the violence that's occurred anywhere in even Black Lives Matter or in Hands Off or No Kings rallies or in the anti-immigration, the violence is less than what occurred on January 6th. These people killed people and tried to overthrow our election and erected a gallows for the vice president and tried to hunt down the speaker and the vice president. if you can't see that January 6th was the worst thing that's happened to America since the Civil War, then I think you're blind, deaf, and dumb, because it attacked the very essence of what it means to be a democratic, tolerant society.
And the lack of education that happens. What happens is
tell how the public needs more education and how they're being uneducated in so many ways.
Well, once a leader, whether it's a local leader or a president of the United States, makes a comment, people need to sometimes question that. It's okay to not think everything that comes out of their mouth is true. And one thing that really bothers me is the transgenic mice comment that, you know, our president is making.
He made it the other day again, even after they told him he was wrong.
He's thinking we're spending millions of dollars to turn mice transgender to do an experiment when it's transgenetic, you know,
research.
Research. Yeah. And my niece, Kelly, used to do that at Yale on the mice. So,
it's looking at the genetics of mice and changing the genetics of mice to try to get different traits to come out in the population of mice. It has nothing to do with transgender people. And this guy's such an idiot that he just keeps putting it out there and putting it out. Maybe he knows what he's doing. I don't know.
Well, you're amping up hate. And when you amp up hate, we're seeing it happen. You know, the two senators, senator and the spouse, who were just murdered.
Assassinated, yeah. By right-wing extremists, evidently.
This is where we are.
Yeah. Yeah, well, you know, unfortunately, you hit the nail right on the head. When you have a leader that perpetuates lies about other presidents, right? He still says Obama wasn't born in the United States. It's totally, he still says he won the election in 2020, which he did not. He lost it by 9 million votes, but he lost. And then when he wins by a few hundred thousand votes, it's a landslide. But when he loses by 9 million votes, he was cheated. The kids on the playground used to try that, and we called those people names, and we weren't allowed to join the normal people club. But now one of those cuckoo birds is president. So let's just talk a little bit about some of the issues that the gay community, let's just say that rather than the whole long letter abbreviation, what they're dealing with right now in general. Put aside the craziness of the White House, but in general, in terms of jobs, in terms of their health care, in terms of acceptance, what's the situation of gay Connecticut right now, in your opinion?
Well, if everything goes back to the states, then Connecticut should fare well. But if the federal government oversees all of these policies, then we're going to be in the same position as, you know, the southern states. So, but the healthcare issue regarding especially the transgender population, that they could be denied the gender-affirming care. And people used to flock to Connecticut because we are a safe place for
that.
We're tolerant.
The land of steady habits.
Although we still have pockets in Connecticut that, you know, even in our safe state.
Yeah. Well, look at the Board of Ed and Killingly rejected. They were the only town that rejected the mental health aid that the state offered all the towns after COVID to help the children adapt to life post-COVID and losing those 2 years of school.
Mm-hmm.
And they did it because they think mental health grooms them to be gay. Some of these people are pretty dumb.
It's a sad state of affairs. And then, of course, you know, the books being pulled from the shelves, even on the college level, and that you're not allowed to even mention LGBTQ in a school setting, even high school setting.
Yeah.
In kindergarten, you might say that some families have two moms, some have two dads, some have just a mom,
right.
Some have a black dad and a
white
mom.
Far, the earth isn't flat and we haven't fallen off the edge, and everybody's lived with those changes.
Absolutely.
When you were first coming out, and we're about the same age, you look a lot better for your age than I do, but we saw an amazing change in society. For crying out loud, we had open gay people and a black president. And I thought, wow, we're really starting to evolve to not let these crazy little things bother us so much and accept people for where they're at. You know, I serve on Liberation Programs Board, and our motto is meeting people where they're at, because the people who are addicted are all over the place. And you've got to sort of figure out where they're at in order to help them get to be healthy again. And I saw all these wonderful things happening in society, and now we're back where we're going to, you know, say that reading a book is going to make you gay. You know, it's like, so
when everything is available on social media, I mean, students could Google a book and read the book online.
We do our best here to promote banned books. Victoria Woodard is on the show every other week, and we review a banned book. She's a mom of young children, and she tries to give people advice as to what is the best age to read a book. Now, the Moms for Liberty, that's a crazy group, they ban the books in the libraries. And we had the most banned book of all time. We reviewed it last week. But your point is well taken, that when you ban a book, the sales go up. And I know if my parents told me not to do something, I would say, well, I better look into that and find out why they told me not to do it.
Just like the ratings on albums and CDs, you know, as soon as you put, you know, adult content only, you know, the sales increase tremendously.
So isn't it better to teach people than to just try to prohibit behaviors that you know they're going to do
it
anyway.
It never works.
It's like
it
prohibition didn't work. People wanted a drink.
The speakeasies opened up.
Right, and the mob made a lot of money. So
right.
In Connecticut, but, you're right to point out that our trans and gay community are going to be safer here, although the president's going to try every trick in the book, including taking education funding away from towns and cities that want to be tolerant, because he wants them to be intolerant. Imagine, it's just we're living life in reverse. But you've got a great project. We have a little bit of time left here on the show. Let's talk about the Proud Academy in Ansonia and what you're doing. I do think, Paul, we're going to have to take one more break. And we'll take that now. And when we come back, you're going to hear about the wonderful work that Patty Nicolari is doing to create a school which will be inclusive of the LGBTQIA+ community here in the Valley and beyond.
Wake Up with Bill Finch is live on WICC 600 and 95.9, the voice of Connecticut. Speak your mind. 203-333-9422.
And welcome back to Wake Up, where every Sunday morning we try to give you the strength to carry on another week in this fight against the creeping authoritarianism that the White House is putting out upon us. Patty, off the air, was talking about how she felt when, as a teacher, she led the class in the Pledge of Allegiance, and the Pledge of Allegiance says liberty and justice for all. That is a pledge that we make. It is not a promise we deliver to everyone. So I think that's a really important point you make, Patty, because the experiment of American democracy is in order to pursue that perfect union, we the people of the United States, in order to form a more perfect union, establish justice, promote domestic tranquility, provide for the common defense, secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our posterity. You know, I said it a little bit incorrectly there, but I can give it to you accurately another time because I've got it memorized. But it's a pledge. It's an act of becoming. It's a process. And I think what we're seeing now is a process in reverse. We want a process that keeps going forward and grabbing out new challenges and new tolerances that we can put into our quiver of arrows.
Well, you know, the phrase "we are not going backwards" was such a tagline for, you know, Kamala Harris, and it really resonates with so many people, whether you're black or gay. I mean, we're trying to go backwards in this administration, and that's just unacceptable. And I think what really helps youth today is social media.
And inclusion, right?
And inclusion.
Like you're trying to do.
Exactly. So what's happening with Proud Academy is, well, first of all, it stands for Proudly Respecting Our Unique Differences.
I can see it on your shirt right
here.
Yeah,
I wear it proudly.
You're very proudly wearing it.
24/7, I'm working this job. I love it. You know, it's not work when you love what you do.
Yeah.
So,
well, you're an inspiration.
Well, I appreciate you. But sadly, we're getting families from all over the United States who say, when you open, we will move our family. We got them from Pennsylvania, from Indiana, from Texas, Florida, North Carolina. It breaks your heart that these families, and you know, if you're a parent, you will do whatever it takes for your child to feel safe and affirmed. And we can't open fast enough. So in the meantime, before we open Proud Academy, we're opening the center. And we will offer educational support for youth there as well.
And build political support around your efforts to have a school.
Right, because in order for any charter school to open, which there are 21 charter schools in Connecticut, we do need the local legislators' support.
A bunch in Bridgeport.
Yes, Bridgeport and New Haven. It seems like the big cities have the charter schools. So we tried to open in a place that wasn't inundated with charter schools. And the Naugatuck Valley doesn't have any tuition-free charter schools. So anybody could go to the school.
And let's explain while we're at it. You know, a lot of people who are against charters and against Proud being a charter say that it's going to decrease the funding to the other schools. Let's be very clear about it. Your city's an alliance district. New Haven, Bridgeport are alliance districts. Those cities can never spend less money than they did the previous year. They have to at least spend what they spent last year. So that means if I take 3,200 students out of the Bridgeport public schools and move them to another public school, a charter school that has to operate just like a public school, that money for those 3,200 students that moved to the charter schools, that money stays in the public schools. And additional money is sent by the state for the students in the charter school. So in New Haven and Bridgeport's case, we've lowered class size and increased funding. And in Sonia, that the same thing will happen. They cannot cut the school funding to the public schools for all the charter schools. The charter schools have to go off on their own, get money from the state, raise their own money. And the money that used to come there for those students that are now in the charter school stays in the public schools. So let's get rid of that whole assumption that somehow having a charter school is going to decrease funding. It cannot legally do that.
Absolutely. And we're only starting with 50 students. I mean, that is such a low enrollment, and any impact is so
small. And where
can
they come from? If you're a parent out there and you want to get your child involved with Proud Academy, doesn't exist yet, but it's on the drawing boards, how can they reach you?
ProudAcademyCT.org is our website.
Remember the CT, because I forgot it a couple times. Yes. ProudAcademyCT.org.
Correct. And we are excited to hear from you, and we want your input, and we know that you will help us build it. We'll do a needs assessment and hear from all the parents and the students and the community members. So parents will be coming from all over. We've had parents from Woodbridge, from Newtown, from Orange, from Fairfield. I mean, literally all over.
And you don't have to be a member of the gay community to go.
No,
can just be a regular student that wants to have a tolerant environment.
There's a school, the last LGBTQ school to open in the United States was Magic City Acceptance Academy in Homewood, Alabama.
Wow.
40% are LGBTQ and 60% are not. Because when students feel safe and affirmed in a school, sometimes kids who feel bullied for other reasons know that if a black transgender student could feel safe, oh, heck, I know I could feel safe. So.
Wow. That's amazing.
Our school will be open to everybody.
What a statistic. In Alabama, they can do it, but Connecticut can't.
Well, charter schools
Shame
are easy.
Shame on Connecticut.
Charter schools are easy to open everywhere in the United States. Connecticut has a two-step process, and we've already been approved by the State Board of Education to become a charter school.
Congratulations. I was helping you with that one.
Bill, we appreciate your support. You're such an advocate for Proud Academy. Greatly appreciated. So the next hurdle is legislative approval. And we didn't get that this year, so we
did any charter get legislative approval this year?
There are two schools, one's opening in New Haven and another one in Stamford.
So a lot of times with the legislature, it takes a few years. I know I put in upping the deposit on bottle bills, on returnables to 10 cents every year I was there. I put in Sunday liquor sales every year I was there. I put in include water bottles in the bottle bill. I put in adoptees getting their original birth certificates. I put in a whole bunch of things that didn't pass until I left. So the moral of the story is get rid of Finch and your bills will pass.
I love it.
So, but you can't use that excuse, Patty, because I'm not there.
Exactly, but I'm still going to pick on you, Bill.
So we've got to get State Senator George Cabrera and Kara Rochelle, who represent that area, to really put a request in, right, for their district. That's how it works?
Their input matters.
Sure. Well, they're both very strong representatives, and I know they both have a lot of respect in the Capitol. So let's just hope, keeping our fingers crossed, that we can get their strong support next year or maybe the next year. But eventually, with your enthusiasm and your courage and your strength and your community that you're organizing, I can't see a way that it doesn't happen at some point.
Thank you, Bill. And I have to say we have an amazing board. So our board of directors is really top-notch, and three of them are from Ansonia. So,
and Steve Adamowski's one, correct?
Steve Adamowski is an alder and a retired superintendent.
Of
and
multiple
Tamika
cities.
Grant and
Hartford, Willimantic. He was a superintendent of many schools, and Ansonia too, right? I mean,
He wasn't in Ansonia.
Okay, all right. But he's been...
My father was superintendent in Ansonia.
That's right. So you've got all these credentials behind you. What are some of the reasons why people won't support it?
I think politically, across the nation. Well, no, in Connecticut, Republicans tend to support charter schools, but they're
Democratic mayors too.
Exactly. I think there's just a lot of misunderstanding that needs to take place. So we hope to have educational sessions to educate the public on what charter schools really mean. Who wouldn't want a tuition-free choice for your child?
Tuition-free. So happy Proud Month to everyone. This has been a great show. We've seen how one citizen is standing up to the disinformation campaign and the gaslighting of her community to try to make the world a better place, a more tolerant place, and it fits into Connecticut, our great state of Connecticut, our wonderful place to live. We hope to be as progressive as Alabama in the near future when it comes to the Proud Academy. Thanks for listening. We'll see you next Sunday on Wake Up, everybody. We're going to talk about the pillars of democracy next week. Tune in.